prove it. I don't happen to believe that there is a code of conduct, one code of conduct that would produce happiness for any individual human being who used it. Some people have already lived a very long time and may have very little time left to live, and attempts to change their code of conduct at this point would produce discomfort far beyond the time that they have left to live. So how can one prove to that individual that he would be better advised to give up his own morality and take a new one? It would have no practical meaning in his life, and you would have no basis upon which to demonstrate to him that this absolute morality applied to him as well as to you. To call him immoral for doing what he believes will bring him happiness is, of course, pure hypocrisy, because this is what you are doing, acting to bring happiness for yourself. In fact, Spencer McCallum has pointed out that the only purpose for formulating an objective morality is simply to be able to call someone else immoral. And I understand that Max Stirner said that the moral man's only enemy is immorality, which I interpret to mean that anything that opposes him is thereby immoral. But recognize that the individual who believes that there is such a thing as an absolute or objective morality is simply acting from his knowledge, as everyone else is. So there would be no point to condemning the moralist any more than there would be reason for the moralist to condemn the immoralist. Now, the big question then is, so what? What if morality is, for all practical purposes, a subjective concept? Does that really make any difference in anybody's life? Well, I think that question will be answered much more completely, usefully, and satisfactorily as we proceed through the course, but we'll get into a couple of applications of it in the second part this evening. But we'll apply it to some very practical areas as we go along in the course itself. But in the meantime, I can tell you that in at least one human being's life, a recognition of the subjectivity of morality has spared him the endless arguments, the fits of temper, the frustration, the difficulties in dealing with others that so many individuals take for granted as a mere necessity of life. Those things are not necessary. There is no reason ever to lose your temper or to expect from others what they don't have to give, or to be frustrated because you thought others would react from your standards. When others will not react from your standards, they are going to react from theirs. And until you understand that, you are not dealing with reality as it is, and so you'll stub your toe on it. Well, we'll see this much more clearly as we go along. But for the moment, let's review where we stand right now. You are a human being alive in the world, and that means you must act by the nature of human beings, so you will therefore pursue happiness, well-being, through acts of production, acts that are designed to bring happiness to you in the future, to produce consumption values. You ask yourself, what acts are the most likely to bring me the well-being I seek, the most uninterrupted, the most durable, the most complete well-being that I am capable of experiencing? So this means that you must then perceive reality and formulate some principles to make profitable decisions. Even if the individual only perceives reality through his own experience, this still does not give him the ability to wish away reality or to act as if it was something different than what it is, or to simply change reality by changing his own mental outlook. And you must recognize, too, of course, that everyone is subjectively bound by his own knowledge. And this has two very important ramifications. First of all, it means that you will have to decide for yourself what is right and what is wrong, meaning what will bring happiness to you in your life. Because there is no one you can go to ask who will not be bound by his own subjective experience, which is not yours. And secondly, you must never expect anyone else to act upon your knowledge, because each individual is acting upon his own knowledge. As to your own acts, you can only really be concerned about what works for you, all things considered, all relevant things considered. And if someone says that this is whim-worshipping or self-indulgence to create a morality for oneself, then simply ask him, or more important, ask yourself, who knows better than I do what will bring me happiness? And therein lies the final answer to the question, who am I to know? Because I am the only one to know, because it is my life and my happiness that are at stake. I have to know. We'll continue after we take a 10-minute break.